Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is looking for people that he can save before his mighty return, before Jesus come and take his people off the earth. See, the king is coming, folks. Ready or not, he's coming. In 2017, the Lord told me in November 2017, he said, "Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left." He loves his people. He don't want anybody left. He loves all of us. And he wants us to know him, what he is about, how he operates. He wants us to know his ways. He wants us to know his love. He wants us to know his purpose. He wants us to know what he can do in our lives. He wants us to know how much he loves it. He loves us. And he wants us to love each other. Because if we love each other, we love him. It is impossible for man to love people, to love men and women, and not love God. It is impossible to love God without loving each other. So John said the way we love each other is the way we love God. So don't be so fast to speak negatively of others. Build people up in the love of God. If you love people with the agape love of God, that selfless love of God, a lot of the things of the world won't work anymore. Did you know for a man to cross the line and sin, he has to have a measure, a leaven of hatred to do it? I'm going to say that again. In order for a man to cross the line and sin, he has to have a leaven of hatred in his heart. He has to have it. Now, the Lord saved us. When we believe on Jesus, we have a new heart. And we want to do what God will have us do. We want to do the living things. We don't want to do the dead things of this world. We don't want to, you know, some people love the party scene. Well, you don't want to do the wrong things. You know it's wrong. You know what it leads to. You don't want it anymore. Because it's opposite of what God stands for. And you want to do the things that make life sweet. You want to do the things that make life, that's right. Now the enemy, what he does, Satan is the enemy. He don't want you to know God. He wants you to be dumb when it comes to God. He wants you to have a false knowledge of him. He wants you to think the worst of God. And when your life don't go right, he want you to blame God for it. But guess what? God don't make our choices. We make our own choices. And if you make good choices, you're going to have good success. If you make evil choices, your life's not going to work right. Who are you aligned with? If you're aligned with the world's ways, the worldly ways, which is headed by Satan, Satan's got to, you know, Satan controls the world system. That's the flow of rebellion. That kind of leaven is destructive. When people are greedy and they hurt other people. When they are proud, they put themselves above other people. Proud people don't like to see others do anything better than them. When people lust after people, when men lust after women, that's divisive. But when you love people, you can't lust after them. People are not objects. They are God's heritage. They are people. They're God's people. So the enemy used the low down things in this world to hold people back. and in the world system, if you're greedy, all you can see is you believe you're going to be satisfied by getting more stuff. Same thing with lust, same thing with pride. Nothing's enough. No matter how much property a man has, how much money and possessions he has, it's not enough to satisfy him, because lust can't be satisfied. But love fulfills. See, Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. The love of God in you is life. Lust is death. It don't look like it, but it is. And see, the problem with sin is that it's always hostile. It's always destructive. It's always a curse. And it don't come from God, and it shouldn't exist. And there's no reason for it. So sin of itself can't do anything. It has to have a host. Sin corrupts the host that receives it. Whether it's an angel, whether it's a man, anything living that's got sin in it, if there were no people to partake of sin, sin can't be here. Sin is here through living people or angels. The angels that failed, they didn't keep their state of perfection. They left the glory of God to enter into the sin of Satan. And so the Lord had to have a protocol to deal with sin. So he made hell. That's the only thing to get rid of it. And it's a holding cell. It's fire. God chose fire to judge sin. Hell is very important, because sin is like cancer to life. That's why he got rid of it. You don't want it in you. You don't want to be contaminated with it. And don't think that you're not dangerous. If a man lived long enough, see, God had to cut our time down. Adam lived to be 930 years. He didn't make a day. A day with God is 1,000 years, folks. Now, when he restored the earth, he used 24-hour segments of time. That was the restoration week. And everything he did in the restoration week is the protocol he used for the covenant week. The covenant week, see, today, man has been on earth almost 6,000 years. So, on the seventh day is the Sabbath. Jesus is going to reign the last covenant day. Adam didn't live a whole day. He died on a Sunday. The flood of Noah was on a Monday in the covenant week, not in 24-hour periods. No. Jesus came on a Wednesday. It was 4,000 years when he came, 2,000 years since then. This is Friday in the covenant week. Okay? And I wrote, there's more about that on audio page 6. It's called Our Covenant Week. And if you want to learn more about it, listen to it's 5 broadcasts on the audio page 6, newlivingletters.com. And all these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. And everything is free. So today's broadcast is on there as well in real time. But these broadcasts are there and they're free. Everything on the website is free. And I desire for people to go on there and check it out. Now, knowledge is power. Just because it's free, don't think it's cheap. The things that God gave me, it came from the Holy Spirit. And so, if you want to listen to our covenant week, I recommend it. Everybody needs to know these things. If you understand the Word of God as the Lord intended it to be, it's going to help you grow forward. It's going to help you grow from glory to glory. And see, as you receive revelation knowledge, you're going to be different. You're going to be better off. Now, I like to stir people up. I know what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. I know, and I want him to do it. See, if I point you in the right way, if all I got, I know what Jesus is going to do. He's going to back up everything I'm saying. Because I got it from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I listen to the Word of God all day, every day. In most cases, I'm listening to, if I'm working, I'm listening to the Word. When I'm driving down the road, I'm listening to the Word. And the Holy Spirit gave me what broadcast to do. Now, I was in a band years ago. They had some creation questions, so we did a broadcast. I mean, well, not a broadcast. We did a Bible study. And so, but it took about 2 hours. So we did this broadcast. But they said some personal things, so I couldn't make a broadcast out of that. But I had the notes. I said, Lord, I would love to take these notes and put it on the Heart to Heart broadcast. That's the website broadcast. And I said, whenever you want me to, I would love to do that. And I put it before the Lord. I don't do anything unless he approves it. Just because I want to do something, I present the Lord with it, and he'll tell me whether to do it or not. Well, a few weeks went by, and he said, I want you to use those notes and make that broadcast. I said, Lord, is that you or me? He said, I need it. I said, okay. So I did the broadcast. It's our covenant week. Now, as you learn from the Lord, he's going to say, I wish people would have told me years ago that God had talked to you. My parents were pastors. They were Methodist pastors. My dad, I say they were both pastors because they worked in the ministry. My mother helped my father. She didn't preach, but she helped him in ministry. And they never complained. And they had to preach out of town. They would go to spend the weekend in Utah, Alabama, and work regularly. My mother was a school teacher. My dad had worked at U.S. Pipe in North Birmingham. And they did this all my life. And they never complained. But I didn't know the Lord would talk to you until I met Mom Powell. I had heard from a friend that the Lord said that he knew some people the Lord answered their questions. I said, man, I love for that to happen. And then I met Mom Powell, and she radiated with the love of God. You could tell the love of God was on this woman. She was a real nice lady. She used to come to the grocery store I worked at, and she would tell me about conversations she had with the Lord. And I wanted that, so I listened to her. And I went to a Pentecostal church because Pentecostal people would tell you what the Lord said to them. But Methodist people and Baptist people didn't do that as much. In fact, they didn't do it at all in those days, in the 80s. And so if I had known that you could have a relationship with the Lord and he would talk to you, I would have got saved a long time ago. I would have been more interested. Now, I was a grown man, and Mama would tell, she told me things that the Lord said to her all alone. And not only her, my aunt, she had visions and dreams that came to pass. See, I didn't know this. They didn't talk about it. And then I told my dad, I said, you know the Lord will talk to you. He said, of course I do. He said, how you think I get my messages? And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought Methodist people didn't hear from God. Because they didn't talk about it. And so I found out God is talking. But see, people act like They want to be, in my mind, scientific. They don't like to say what God said. I do it because that's where I get my knowledge from. I spend time with the Lord. And anybody that loved God, believed on Jesus, they're going to hear from the Lord. And many of them hear from the Lord more often than they admit. How many times you heard people say, something told me not to do that. Something told me to do this, and I did it. and it worked. They know it was God. But for a long time, people didn't want to admit that God told them something. Why? I don't know. But that's how people did. So, but Pentecostal people were glad to tell you what God told them. And some are wise and some are not. But nevertheless, the relationship is what I was after. I'm not ashamed of my relationship with Jesus. And don't let nobody talk you out of Jesus. And don't let nobody talk you out of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is supreme wisdom. He's supreme purity. He's supreme love. And when he tells you something, it's going to work. He's going to help you put your life back together. While people are mocking, you're going to be learning, growing from glory to glory, changing from glory to glory. And you won't be like the enemy. In fact, you're going to be the opposite of the enemy if you follow the wisdom of God. And don't get caught up in the foolishness of religion. Religious, there are things happening religiously that's not of God. But the Holy Spirit, he'll take you beyond indoctrination. When people are indoctrinated, I got this from Charles Capps. When people are indoctrinated, they quit thinking. They don't think for themselves. They just indoctrinated. But see, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And you'll see it for what it is, whether it's good or bad. And some things are good, partake of that, but some things are bad, leave it alone. Once you know better. See, don't fall in the trenches of everything that people are doing. The Lord put Isaiah 10 on my heart. I never did get to it, so I'm going to get to it now. You can't do everything with everybody. You have to do what God give you. Now watch what God said in Isaiah 10. He said, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor, my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." See, the nation, when a nation falls away from the things of God, this is why. Verses 1 through 5. Or verses 1 through 4. Israel got so bad in their ways that the Lord had to drive them out of the land and take them into captivity. He said, "Without me," in verse 4, "they shall bow down under the prisoners." The prisoners are more important than they are. They're going to beg people in jail. "They shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." God is always looking for somebody that wants redemption. And also, he takes vengeance against people that take vengeance. Now, watch verse 5. It says, "O Assyria, the rod of mine anger, the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire in the streets." See, God raised up the king of Assyria to judge wicked Israel when they went wicked. And he always will do this. There will always be a more hypocritical person that's more evil to take away the hypocrites. See, God wants to be represented by people that love him And he's going to be represented by people that love him. You can learn something from Isaiah chapter 10. Now watch what he said concerning king of Syria. He said, I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire in the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. For thus saith the Lord. Now watch the mindset of the king of Assyria. He said, for he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and their idols, do to Jerusalem and their idols? Now you see his mindset. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he said, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. See, God has a protocol for the wicked. You're not going to like it. But when you get in the kingdom of God, you avoid that protocol. Very important to do so. Verse 13, for he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. And I have removed the bounds of the people, and I have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand has found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. See, the king of Assyria thought he was so prudent. He thought he was so above everybody else. And he was not, because watch what happened to him. Verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shakes it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up. Or as if a staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. Therefore shall the Lord, watch this, the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness. And under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. I want to tell you something. Wicked men always come to a hard end. Verse 17. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be fear that a child may ride. This is what happens to the wicked ultimately. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again rely or stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. See, people, when they buy into the world system, their ways become so dark that God has to judge them eventually. And not only as a person, but generationally. See, there's a personal evil that Jesus can get you out of this trouble. But there's a generational evil as well. And God's got to judge it. Eventually the justice hammer of God's got to fall. And he raised up people to deal with this. He has to have a protocol against all forms of evil. This is why I'm reading this. And see, before everything go into the trap that it's in, or before everything gets haywire, God still wants to save people and get them out of the danger zone. See, he said also, the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. He wants to get all of his people that he possibly can. And he want to do it now. Don't let nobody talk you out of Jesus. Don't let nobody tell you wrong things about the Holy Ghost. Don't let nobody stop you from learning who God is. I'm going to read verse 21 again. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Verse 22. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decree shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that live in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite you with the rod, and shall lift up his staff against you after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as the rod was set upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. In Gideon's war, it ended at the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And he gave that for an example. Verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the, watch this, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He has come to Aiath. He has passed through Migron and Michmash. He hath laid up his carriages.